This morning's sermon is called Friendship with God from John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. In chapters 14 and 15, we have been seeing the words command, commandments, love, obedience, abide, fruit. We've been seeing these words a lot. So this tells us what was on Jesus' mind just hours before going to the cross. This is what was on his mind, these topics. Last week, we read about Jesus telling us that if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Jesus is saying, if you stay close to me, you stay connected to me, you will bear fruit in my name. What do I have to do to bear fruit in Jesus' name? Abide in Christ. Stay close to him. Stay connected to Jesus, he said, and I will bear fruit through you. I'll do the bearing. You just abide. You just stay close to me. Don't you love that? The Lord says, I got it all under control. I just want you to abide in me, remain in me, and I'm going to bear fruit through you. Oh, I love that. In our passage this morning, Jesus is still talking about love and obedience and bearing fruit in his name. But he also talks about friendship in this passage. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're just going to look at six verses this morning because there's so much meaning in these six verses. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at verses 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment." And look at this, "that you love one another as I have loved you." Wow. Love, that's what was on Jesus' mind hours before going to the cross, is like Bob said. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Agape love. It is the highest form of love, agape love. It's unconditional, sacrificial, it's compassionate, it's forgiving, it's persistent, and it's focused on the well-being of other people. Agape love. By the way, Jesus is talking to the church here, the body of Christ. He's going to talk about the world in our next passage next week. Right here, he's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to believers, to the church, to the saved, born-again Christians. Agape love. It's not a feeling, by the way, agape love. It's an action love. Okay? In other words, it's almost like saying, you ever heard that saying, don't tell me what you're going to do, show me. Right? What are you going to do, right? This is the same type. It's an action love, and God showed us his love in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That it was him showing his agape love to us. It's an action love. And in verse 13, Jesus shows us his love for us. Let's go to verse 13. Jesus demonstrated his love for this. Listen to Jesus' words. He says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is saying there is no greater expression of love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Amen? Jesus defines real love in one way. He says, you want to talk about real love? You want to talk about the greatest expression of love? And he points to the cross. He points to the cross where he laid down his life for you and me. Jesus is saying that I love you so much that I'm going to lay down my life for you willingly, like Bob said. I'm going to lay it down willingly for you. His life for our life. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is saying, I took your sins to the cross with me so you could be forgiven and you could become my friend part of God's family. Amazing. Right, Colossians 2:14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The day you came to Christ with all your heart and soul and meant it, your sins got nailed to the cross. Your sins got transferred to the cross, and Jesus' righteousness got transferred to you. Hallelujah. Got transferred to you. Paid in full. Sin debt paid. Because you surrendered your life to Christ. Let's take a look at verse 14. Jesus said, you are my friends if, that means it's a conditional verse, okay? When you see if, conditional verse, you do whatever I command you. Pretty powerful, huh? You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. It's powerful. In other words, to love him is to obey him. God describes love in the scripture by obedience. Obedience is an expression of your love for God. You obey him because you love him. And a friend of God's obeys him. Love and obedience, you cannot separate the two. I talked about that last Sunday. You cannot separate the two of those. Love and obedience, they are connected in the sight of the Lord. Right back in John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my words, obey me. He said in chapter 14, verse 21, we went over that. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him or her. And I will manifest myself to him or her, show myself to him or to her. John 14:23, Jesus said it again, verse after verse after verse. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him, and listen, and we will make our home with him or her. John 15:10, we read last Sunday. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, you can't. These are connected, love and obedience. Jesus connects these two constantly. He says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I want you to do the same thing, Jesus said. Love and obedience, love and obedience. And here in verse 14, he says, if you are my friends, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You think the Lord is trying to get his point across to us? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you love me, obey me. Obey my word. You notice in that verse, verse 14, that word whatever? I did. That means you and I, listen carefully, we don't get to pick and choose which rules we want to follow. This is God's world. He made it. He made the rules. It is our job to follow them. Whatever I command you, you and I don't get to pick and choose what rules we want to follow before a holy God. People like to do that. People like to do that. It's not how it works with the Lord. Let's look at verse 15. This is all Jesus talking in this passage. He's been talking, this is all Jesus talking hours before going to the cross to his disciples and to the church, the body of Christ. Jesus said in verse 15, look at this right here. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Look at this. For all things that I heard from my Father, look at this, I've made known to you. Now, in the ancient world, during this time, the term friend meant more than it does today. Okay? In the ancient world, the word friend was used to express a very special relationship with somebody, an exclusive friendship. It wasn't used casually like today, right? We hear people, oh, I got 1,000 friends on Facebook. I got 500 friends over here. You don't even know them. You don't even know these people. When you throw that around, oh, he's my friend. Met him one day. I introduced you to my friend. Just met him an hour ago. Not back then, it wasn't like that. You called someone your friend, it was special. It was a special friendship. My point here is, this would have blown away the apostles, the disciples. This would have blown them away when Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, said, hey, you're my friend. They would have been like, what? They don't throw that word around, friend. This was unheard of during this time. A disciple, which means follower or learner, was also known as a servant. And for the master to call a disciple friend would have been so shocking to them, completely unexpected during this time. God only called one man in the whole Old Testament his friend. You know who he is? Abraham. The Bible says that God spoke to Moses face to face like a friend. But he only called Abraham his friend. This would have blew them away. Jesus comes, God in the flesh, you're my friend. One person in the Old Testament, God called his friend. So for them to call them as friends and you and me friends would have blown them away. Friends with God. Good friend to have, right? Amen? Good friend to have. How do I become God's friend? You're going to have to go to the cross because that's where he laid his life down for you. You're going to have to go to the cross and you're going to have to surrender your life to him. That's how you become God's friend. You've got to go to the cross. The Apostle John was so blown away that he could be friends with God. He wrote in his first epistle, John 1, verse chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He was so blown away, if you read that, John is like, you're not going to believe this. I saw God. I heard God. I touched God. I handled God. I held his hand. I ate with God. I looked into God's eyes. I hugged God. And I want you to know him like I do. Read John's first epistle. He said over and over, I have seen, I have heard, I have touched God in the flesh. He repeated it 3 times in 4 verses. He's blown away. John was so amazed. I could be friends with God. The fact that God wants to be my friend amazes me. I know me. The fact that he wants to be your friend amazes me. Right? He wants to be our friend. God. Amazing. Now, I want you to notice something also in verse 15. Look at the second half of verse 15. Jesus said, it's very important for you to understand. Jesus said, for all things I have heard, all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. I made known to you. Jesus saying, since becoming my friend, since becoming part of my family, I'm going to let you in on all the family secrets. For all things I've heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Just think of all the things you know about God that the world does not. Amen? Just think of all the things that you know about God that the world does not. Because you have given your life to Christ. He's made known His will to you. Where? In His Word. In His Word. Everything you need to know about God is right here. It's right in His Word. That's why He left it behind for us. Just like Bob said, 40 authors, over 1,500 years, not one contradiction. You know why? God wrote it through these men. Right? Holy Scripture was not written by men, but by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why nobody can debunk this book. And they've been trying. Because God wrote it. He left it behind for you or me. You know God. He's made everything. Jesus says, since coming to me, I've revealed everything to you you need to know. You know how to become saved. You know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. He's revealed it to you through His Word, right? You know that God's love is without end. You know this. You know that the Holy Spirit sealed you when you became a child of God. You know that the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin when you sin and you feel bad. It's the Holy Spirit in you convicting you, saying, "No, no, 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 Sean, we're not going to do that." You know that He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know. Jesus said, "I've revealed this to you through my word." You knew that you were spiritually dead before coming to Christ, but He made you alive together with Him. You know that because He's told you. You know the future plans that you have in Christ Jesus. You know. You know the countless promises that God has laid out in His word for you. You know this. Jesus says, "I've revealed all this to you." This isn't a secret. He's like, "Look at all what you know that the world does not." You know that your name is written in heaven when you leave earth. You know. I've told you. What did He say? "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that I come." Right? "That I prepared a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That your name is written in heaven. You know all this because He laid it all out in His Word. Amen? He laid it all out in His Word. The world does not know God like you do. Amen? The world doesn't know God like you do. Jesus said, "I've made known all the things to you in my word." Jesus also said, listen, He also said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed are those who hear my word and keep it." Blessed. He said, you are blessed. You've heard my word, you keep it, it means everything to you. You are blessed because of it. It's the word of God to you and me. Let's look at verse 16. Jesus went on to say in verse 16, He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that the fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask Him, my Father, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." In the ancient world, speaking of the ancient world, disciples typically got to choose their master, who they wanted to follow, the teacher, who they wanted to go, right? John the Baptist, he had his disciples, everybody, they all had their own disciples. They got to choose who they wanted to follow. That was the norm back then. Jesus says to His disciples, "Hey guys, by the way, You didn't choose me. I chose you. This would have blown them away. I chose you. God's grace comes first. He makes the first move. We respond. Amen? This is saying, hey, I chose you. Whether you want to come to me or not, I chose you. This would have blown them away. Jesus is saying, I chose you to come into this relationship with me. I chose you. I chose you. You didn't have to come to me and say, Lord, can I be your friend? Lord, can I be? No. Jesus says, I chose you. I did the picking, Jesus said. I did the choosing. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning through his word, saying, I just want you to know I chose you, but I'm waiting for you to respond to me. I chose you. I've got plans for you. And I want to adopt you into my family, and I'm waiting for you to respond. God could be talking to you through his word. God's grace is amazing. I'm blown away as I read these. I've read these scriptures over and over. I'm moved by the holy word of God as I stand in his pulpit. Who do we generally pick to be our friends? People we like, right? We typically don't pick people we don't like. Right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Right? We pick friends that we like. We like, they usually have something in common with us. Who did Jesus pick? I'll tell you, if you brought your Bible, you turn to Romans chapter 5. If you brought your Bible, you turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to tell you exactly who Jesus chose to be his friends. Romans chapter 5. I want you to go down to verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. We're going to read down to verse 8. The Word of God says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Keep that in mind. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus chose the ungodly sinners. You and me, that's who he chose. Not who he got along with. He chose the ungodly sinners to come into this relationship with him. He didn't lay down his life for his friends. Yes, he's talking about, I lay down my friends. He's talking about no great expression of love that I lay down my life for my friends. He's talking about everybody that belongs to him. Everybody that belongs to him. Listen, he chose us when we were at our worst. Dead in sin. He says, I chose you, but you're going to have to respond to me. Right? Human responsibility, right? God gives the free will. You don't want anything to do with God? No problem. He won't come. But if you do, look out. He will come. Right, Jesus knew that Peter would deny him three times. Right? He knew that Thomas was going to doubt him. He saw John, the Apostle John, think he was a New Testament prophet when he asked Jesus, should I send down some fire from heaven and burn up these hell-bent Samaritans like Elijah? He saw all this in these men. But he also saw John one day would lean on his chest and say, this is the Lord who loves me. That's what he saw in John. He didn't look at him like the prophet he was trying to be. That's why John says, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. That's all I want you to know about me, is Jesus loved me. What a legacy to leave behind. And Jesus changed them, and he changed them for good. He chose you and me. Listen, he chose you and me knowing everything about us. And he changed our lives as well. Amen? He changed our lives as well. His friendship was established with you because he made the first move and you responded. He sought you out. He sought you out when you were at your worst. He chose you. He picked you. And he said this, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. I chose you. And I chose you that you would go and bear fruit in my name. Well, how am I going to do that? I told you earlier, just abide in Christ. Let him do the work. Let God be God, right? He said, you just abide in me. You remain in me. You stay close to me. You stay connected to me. You're going to bear fruit in my name. I'm going to bear fruit through you. He said, I appointed you for that. I chose you not. I didn't save you to sit. Right? This isn't I got my ticket to heaven. I'm all set. No. He says, I appointed you to bear fruit. I saved you. And I've appointed you to go share your faith with others. Go let them know what I've done for you, and I can save them like I saved you. And not only that, look at the rest of this verse 16. I told you there's a lot in these verses. He said in the second half of verse 16, look at this, and he says, and that your fruit shall remain. You see that word, remain? That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he shall give you. He says again, if you abide in me, stay close to me, stay connected to me, you are going to bear fruit. I'm going to bear fruit through you. And you know what he says? He says it's going to last for eternity. It's going to remain. It's going to remain. It's going all the way into eternity with you. All those things you're doing down here on earth in my name, you're going to bring all into eternity with you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, so when you stand before God, after this life, Jesus is going to point to the fruit and say, he's going to go ahead and say, look at what you did in my name. Look at the fruit. Look what you accomplished in my name as you're standing before God. Look at those things. He says, look at the people you reached when you shared your faith. He says, the people you prayed for, the people you loved in my name, the people that you helped, that were in need. You did it in my name. You know what Jesus is saying? These things don't go unnoticed. I see all these things you do in my name. Lasting fruit, it's called. It's going to last all the way into eternity, and Jesus is going to point to it when you stand before him. Wow, look at what you did in my name. Lasting fruit. Let's look at our final verse, verse 17. Sound familiar? Verse 17, look at it. These things I command you, that you love one another. I want you to love each other like I loved you. Back in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. This is what was on Jesus' mind hours before going to the cross. Love. That's what was on his mind. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to our hearts this morning as we gathered in your holy name. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to continue to reveal your will to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.